That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Ah.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hello and welcome to The Price of Football, the show that looks at the money behind the beautiful game with me, Kevin Day, and him, Liverpool University's Kieran Maguire. I should warn all you lovely people in advance that if it all goes quiet, it's quite possible that Kieran has fallen asleep at the laptop because he has astonishingly found a way to squeeze more hours into the day. He's working nights now, Kieran, for the love of God.
Yeah, I was contacted by somebody and said, would you do a bit of night school teaching for me? I said, well, yeah, I can do that. I'm marking assignments and helping people with their dissertations during the day, doing a bit of media work and so on. I can fit in night school this week. So I'd said yes, and then the gig came through, and it's 2 a.m. to 10 a.m.
How did you break that news to the Baroness, just as a matter of interest?
I said, I'm think I'm in your bad books again.
Oh, it must be cold in that spare room, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It's news day, Kieran. Oddly, we have had so many news stories this week that we're going to move a couple to Sunday because we won't get through this before you have to get out of your sleeping bag and start work again tonight. Unfortunately, the first news story is one that I think we both hoped and prayed we wouldn't have to be talking about. It does look like, as we speak, and this is nearly 5 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, that Chris Kirchner's attempt to buy Derby County is expected to collapse. Certainly that's the noises coming out of the media around the club, Kieran.
Yes, it's been quite good not having to speak about Derby County for a few weeks because the EFL had given a sort of a half nod that the deal was approved. The administrators had said that they'd come to an agreement. There appeared to have been something sorted out with regards to the stadium, which allegedly was the stumbling block. And Chris Kirchner had he had the sole rights as far as the administrators were concerned. He was the preferred bidder, and all was going smoothly. And then he said, "Well, he's been. You know, why hasn't he been formally announced as the owner?" And we were then told, "Well, we've got two bank holidays in the UK at the end of last week, which was delaying things." And then there was a bank holiday on Monday of this week in the US. And okay, well, I can still transfer money across, borders. It does seem a little bit odd. And then a story was broken on Radio Derby on Wednesday morning by Ed Dawes. And I know Ed. I've got, sadly for Radio Derby, I'm on that show far too often, so I've got to know Ed. And his fear was that, according to sources, that the deal was in a real danger of collapse. So, the wages were paid by somebody at the end of last week, but apparently it's not Chris Kirchner. Which is a big red flag. And if we look at his history, it is a bit checkered from getting things over the line, because remember, he was supposed to be interested in Derby before Christmas. Yeah. That fell through. Then he was talking to Preston North End, and that fell through. And you know, we were contacted by Preston to say, well, you know, we were not over impressed with his conduct in terms of, you know, we weren't convinced in the end whether he had the ability to pay. Chris Kirchner gave his point of view that he felt he was disrespected, and that they were quibbling over some numbers. And sort of the more you dig into his background, you know, he's only 34. He's effectively come from nowhere, and you know, he's got this some sort of logistics company. He says he's made all his money from cryptocurrency, and he's sticking half of it into a third tier football club in England. That yeah, if I'd made 60 or 70 million pounds, I wouldn't just go and spaff it on a football club for whom I've got, you know, no historic affiliation. I'd be either trying to, you know, to build up my business. He's a big golf and tennis fan. And again, on Wednesday, he's at some sort of pro-am meeting playing alongside Sergio Goat Garcia and Ian Poulter in a pro-am foursomes. And again, you know, if I was a big golf fan, I'd probably want to do that. But if I was extremely serious about getting this deal over the line, I'd be working 24 hours a day. And let's face it, I am working 24 hours a day at present, after all, in trying to get this deal, because the fixtures are out in a couple of weeks. The pre-season will be starting sort of first or second week in July. And Wayne Rooney presently has five players. So yeah, the administrators are not in a position where they can sign players for next season. Derby fans are in limbo. You know, they've had so many slaps in the face from fake shakes, you know, Eric Alonso messing them around and so on. And then, of course, the very disingenuous behaviour of Mel Morris all throughout this. So it's not looking great. It could be, by the time this show goes out on Thursday morning, everything will have been solved and the money goes through. You know, that's the nature of business. But we're getting an ominous silence from the administrators. According to another website, Chris Kirchner's just waiting for his funds to clear. There's anti-money laundering regulations that have to be followed. Yeah, I'm absolutely certain of that. But why couldn't this all have been sorted out in advance? And in the background, there's Mike Ashley, sort of like a praying mantis, just sharpening his beak. And yeah, my view is Mike Ashley is not the best owner in football, but he's also not necessarily the worst either. You know, he will run a club to a budget. He will cut back to the bone on certain areas, but he knows the value of a business. So whilst it's not looking great on the Kirchner front, it doesn't mean that all is lost.
I suppose optimistic Derby fans, Kieran, might hope and pray that the reason he's playing golf today is that he's relaxed because the deal is going through. There's nothing to worry about. In which case, you'd like to think he would have told them that. Are we absolutely sure? Do we know for certain that it wasn't Chris Kirchner who paid the last wage bill?
Well, that's the story, which again I've picked up from the BBC Radio Derby website. So it was somebody close to the club has paid it. So you know, what that means, heaven only knows. I don't think it would have been Wayne Rooney, but it could have been Wayne Rooney. But it'd be a strange thing for him to have done. It could be that you know, there's another interested party who's just come to the rescue. But it's concerning, and you're absolutely right. You know, Chris Kirchner, who has been quite prolific in terms of social media, could have said, there's unexpected delays. I can evidence. I can get my bankers, my legal firm to put out a statement to confirm that I am in a position to take over the club in the next 24 to 48 hours. And he hasn't. And therefore, you know, you know, as Derby fans are saying, they're spending their whole day refreshing Twitter, which there's better things to do with life.
Is it at all possible that Mel Morris paid those wages?
It could be. It could be. It would be out of character, given his behaviour since the club went into administration. But you know, it's an option because it's actually in Mel Morris's interest for this deal to go through, because otherwise he's left holding on to a football stadium with potentially no football club, and that of course will mean that MSD Holdings, whom he owes a lot of money effectively via the club, will start to come after him for his personal guarantees and some of his real estate assets.
And there's no legal obligation on the administrators to reveal who paid the wages then?
No. The club is in administration, but they are often signing NDAs with a variety of partners,
right, okay.
And that's fairly standard process.
Okay. The competition watchdog in the UK has found that JD Sports, Elite Sports, and Rangers broke competition law by fixing the prices of some Rangers branded clothing to keep them high at the expense of fans.
Yes, it looks here as if. JD Sports, I think, were originally selling Rangers merchandise at below the price which you could have to pay in the club store, then all of a sudden they started to match it, and it looks as if there's been some sort of collusion here. So the Competition Commission, I think JD Sports potentially going to end up. Paying some form of fine, or we'll certainly have their knuckles wrapped. Football kit and football merchandise, as we know, is not cheap. But if a retailer wants to undercut it, and it doesn't happen often, let's be honest, and it's exactly the same with many other branded products. But if they want to sell it at lower prices, they should be allowed to do so. When you start to hear about some sort of arrangement, I don't think it reflects well on the people involved.
The minutes before the Wales-Ukraine game on Sunday were astonishing. I think most commentators noted that I've never seen a national anthem sung like that, the way the Wales fans sang that national anthem. It was astonishing. And wonderfully, the way they clapped all the way through the Ukraine national anthem as well. They were probably for 15 minutes the most unpopular country in the world, Wales, but they secured their place at the World Cup. And that could be worth a lot of money for them, Kira, couldn't it?
Yes, because FIFA is becoming increasingly generous for those clubs, or sorry, those countries that have won the right to participate in the finals. Certainly, if we compare the money to when Wales were last in the World Cup, there is literally no comparison. So they're given effectively $2 million by FIFA as preparation money for their camps which they go away to, but qualifying for the group stage will be worth $10 million, and this is purely from FIFA, plus of course there'll be a player pool. The Welsh FA will be able to sell some rights as well in terms of sponsorship and commercial partner arrangements. If they get to the quarterfinal, they'd get $18 million. If they win it, they could trouser a very, very tasty $50 million. And that's up around about 40% from 2014 in Brazil. So I think this is indicative of football continuing to be a very popular tournament. FIFA are being extremely generous here. I think FIFA, should we say, are very keen for this World Cup in particular to be seen to be a success.
You amaze me, Kieran. Yeah, it's also their way of showing their gratitude to the teams for turning up. I mean, Wales will fancy their chances of getting out of their group, really, won't they, with Iran, USA and England in there. They did very well at the Euro, so this could be potentially big money spinner for them.
Yes, yeah, and fair play to them. Yeah, they play good football. Gareth Bale is one of those. He reminds me a bit of Jari Litmanen for Finland many years ago. Yeah, one of those players who is very much a lightning rod through which the rest of the team up their game.
Yeah, like George Best for Northern Ireland. Walsall have new owners.
Yes. So this is a deal that has gone through. It's gone through under the radar. So Walsall have sold, or the Walsall owner has sold 51% of the club, so a controlling interest, to some people called the Travailer Group, based in the States. whose owner themselves is called the fantastically named Benjamin Boycott.
Oh, great name. Benny Boycott. That's a great name.
Yes. So he's bound to be dour on the back of that. He is keen for a couple of things. He wants to set up a multi-club ownership model and have all of the clubs of around about the same standard. You know, it's not like Manchester City the City Football Group where there's Manchester City, which is clearly the dominant club involved, and all of the others are more peripheral. They seem very attracted to the fact that there's now a chance to get the freehold at the stadium, which would be a positive because there have been issues with regards to the stadium. And also, I went through Walsall's accounts, and I've got to say, you know, I know that fans won't necessarily be delighted with this because they've not had necessarily the best of seasons or the best of the periods in their history on the pitch. But I can't think of any other club which has been profitable for the last 10 years, and Walsall have managed that. They are genuinely a club that sets a budget and sticks rigidly to it with the aim of breaking even every year.
I can confirm, Kieran, as you hinted there, that Jeff Boycott is dour. I did several Five Live things with him, and dour is literally the only word that comes. I'd like to report to everybody that beneath that dour exterior, there's a happy-go-lucky Yorkshireman, but there isn't really. It's basically just kept saying, too many runs. It's the trouble with cricket now, too many runs. That's a good thing, Jeff. No, it's too many runs. It's spoiling people. But he does have a quite natty way of doffing his hat as he says goodbye to you, which doesn't really make up for the rest of his character faults, but there you are. Sorry, Kieran, you were going to say? Or was that a yawn? Was that a yawn, Kieran?
No. I was fighting it back. When I was a nipper and used to collect cricketer autographs, Jeff Boycott was always a prized autograph.
Right.
But it was very much a case of catching him in the right mood. And if he was, which he normally wasn't, if he was, he was absolutely fine and would take great care and attention to signing photographs of him. But he could be a bit contrary, but not as miserable as Chris Old. Without doubt, most miserable Yorkshireman in the history of the county.
Wow, I think Jeff Boycott would take that as a challenge. Let's get in touch with him. I like the idea that Jeff Boycott running out a 12-year-old Kieran Maguire just to get rid of him. Increasingly, Kieran, stories that have crypto in them are becoming negative stories. I'm not sure whether Sunderland fans will think of this as a negative story or a positive one, but Sunderland shareholders Stuart Donald and Charlie Methven, who are no strangers to this pod, are in discussions to sell their stake in the newly promoted Championship club to a cryptocurrency group known as The Fans Together.
Yes, so you see that name and you wince, and Donald and Methven are sort of very much sort of the Stan and Ollie of EFL club ownership, in my view. If anybody's ever watched Sunderland Till I Die, it is car crash viewing. And I've got many friends who are Sunderland fans, and they just cringe because Stuart Donald is box office, but in a wrong way. But here he is. So they between them, Donald and Methven, own 39%. And I therefore thought, well, if they want to divest their shares, why don't they sell their shares to Kirill Louis Dreyfus, the billionaire heiress or heir, shall I say, to Monaco Millions? But instead, we've got this crypto stroke NFT company. They say, well, hold on, we're already involved in football. We own FC Episcopi. The Greek second division.
Oh yeah, that lot.
And they've put out some sort of message to the fans. You know, we've got beliefs. We believe in fan ownerships, and we want the idea of the fans buying into the success of the club. And Sunderland have got a big fan base. And I thought, Sunderland do have a big fan base. Mm. What you're going to try to do is you're going to try to flog your gear to them. I think that the reaction of the Sunderland fans has been quite sceptical. The magnificent Roker Report website has I think it's fair to say, gone in gone in studs up with regards to their assessment, and they're fantastic guys at the Roker Report. They do not hold back when they suspect that things aren't great. And even Kirill Louis-Dreyfus has come out and says, well, I've had no contact with them. I don't know anything about them. And you would think that there would be sort of more communication taking place between all of these parties. You know, if you've got three or four people who own a football club, if one of them is thinking of selling, the first thing you do is you talk to the other owners.
Well, especially when it's a stake. You're not talking about somebody who's got 25 shares here. You're talking about 37% stake between them in the club.
Yes,
that's huge.
It is, it's not enough to control things. So, yeah, what happens if Louis-Dreyfus decides he doesn't like them? Then effectively, we've got arms folded at board meetings, which isn't good. You know, we both have watched Dallas back in the day. That never ends well, does it? When you've got Bobby and JR sort of giving each other daggers across the boardroom.
I'm slightly offended, Kieran, that you might have watched that sort of thing back in the day. I was way too busy bringing down the government with left-wing comedy to watch that sort of bourgeois affectation TV. I assume and I hope that A Love Supreme, which is a fantastic Sunderland podcast and fanzine, is going, because I imagine they would also go in studs up. And the worry, Kieran, for fans, and this is that, as we know, football finance is a delicate enough matter as it is, but you always assume that all these cryptocurrencies, NFTs, are kind of built on sand anyway. You wonder, most of these companies didn't exist 2 years ago. You wonder where they got the money from, especially enough money to buy a 37% stake in Sunderland, and add to that, as you say, the fear and the worry that they've bought that stake to have access to a very large and passionate fan group who they will assume will buy into the idea that you don't love your club unless you buy a picture of them winning the FA Cup back in the, it's a worry, isn't it? It really is a worry.
Yeah. If it was my club, it was your club, we'd be both fairly twitchy. When you start to see the crypto NFT bingo comments that come out, they start talking about drops and engagement and value and so on, you go, what exactly are you talking about? The intangible benefits of buying these tokens, because an intangible benefit to me strikes me as no benefit. It's sort of an imaginary benefit. So I can understand the skepticism. Sunderland fans have been through the ringer for quite a few years, and they've had a few false dawns. They've had too many false dawns, I'm sure it takes the edge off for many of them, having just been promoted back to the Championship.
The Vanarama playoff final, Kieran, on Sunday between Grimsby and Solihull Moors, and congratulations to Grimsby, although first of all, as the BBC reported, it was congratulations to Solihull Moors because they got the score wrong. It had a crowd of just short of 24,000, which for a fifth-tier game in English football is pretty astonishing. I thought the black masking at the front of the stadium, at London Stadium, I found very sinister. But it was a really good game. But Vanarama have now donated £20,000 to each of the clubs that took place in the final after fans complained about the high ticket prices, a story that we highlighted last week.
Yes, and I think, first of all, fair play to Vanarama for doing this. I think they felt embarrassed when they found out about this. So it's a very generous thing. But the fact that the sponsor of the competition has had to go to these lengths to try to ensure that there is a decent crowd. Also, huge credit to the Grimsby Town, the Mariners Trust, for crowdfunding, and especially to Wrexham fans who, I would have been pretty upset having lost 5-4 in that final playoff match to get to the final. But by all accounts, one of the biggest groups who contributed to the Mariners Trust was Wrexham fans, which just goes to show that they are an absolutely fantastic bunch. I remember going to Wrexham for a Fans United event when Wrexham were really on their uppers, and they were the most generous hosts I've ever known. You couldn't do anything. Everything was put, we went with banners from other clubs and so on, and they were truly magnificent. So I think this is just a sign of a superb fan base.
This episode of The Price of Football is brought to you by the AI-powered workspace Notion. We are living in an era of information overload, and we have more knowledge than ever before. But what do we do with it all? If you're in Notion, you put that knowledge to work.
It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired. And all I can say on a personal level, as for somebody whose life is quite chaotic, and I'm writing pieces for government and newspapers and media content, I've got my university commitments and I'm supposed to be writing a book, I use Notion all the time because it brings order into chaos.
Well, if you need order brought to your chaos, you can try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/priceoffootball. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/priceoffootball, and start turning your ideas into action. That's notion.com/priceoffootball.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Norwich City have announced a new strategic football partnership with top-flight Brazilian side Coritiba FC. What's in it financially for both teams, Kieran?
Well, I don't think there's a financial benefit as such, but what Norwich have said is that they want to set up a partnership. They're especially after Brexit, it's now more difficult to recruit players from Europe. So therefore, you need to cast the net wider. They want to be able to sort of exchange, coaching and tactical discussions, have meetings between the parties. Potentially, you can put some players, put them out to get some experience elsewhere between Norwich and Brazil in terms of what's happening, the latest ideas. So we are seeing more and more clubs get some tie-ups that they can be relatively loose, as this one is, or they can be sort of more formalised in the form of owning shares. So I think Norwich, they've not had the best of seasons, and they're going to try to use their coaches and their knowledge of the South American market to try to improve things for the club.
Speaking of Brexit, Kieran, I know Guy prefers us to stay neutral on political matters, but I think we've made it quite plain, both of us, where our leanings lay. I happened to be talking the other night to a friend of mine who's one of the country's leading manufacturers and importers of goalkeeping gloves.
All right.
Who was explaining to me that, unfortunately, one of his biggest manufacturing centres was recently bombed by the Russians in Ukraine, which obviously hasn't helped. But he was also explaining just how Brexit has affected the goalkeeping glove industry, which, I mean, sounds an odd thing and a minor thing to talk about, but I'd quite like to invite him on because we talked about the economics of football kits last week. And I had no idea that the economics of football gloves would be different, but they are, oddly, and the price of materials has gone through the roof. So I'm going to invite him on. The only problem is he's a chatty little bugger. And the chances are that 5 minutes after the first question, we will be talking. He loves 70s music as well. That's the thing I'm worried about, Kieran.
Oh, no.
That I might fantastic. I might just have to zone out while you two go on about Shawadi Wadi and Mud, basically. Do you know, I just momentarily I tried to find a link between Shawadi Wadi and Mud and the next news story, but I failed. I think you'll forgive me when you hear it. This was an odd story, Kieran, that it's one that kind of made you smile, was the idea of a football team going on strike. But the Canadian men's national team went on strike on Sunday, forcing a friendly with Panama to be called off. And traditionally, in comedy world, what happens when anyone goes on strike is you say, get the army in. So that's what they should have, the Canadian army should have taken part in the game instead. But what, it was a strange, because it happened at short notice, Kieran, but it's, the team's players forcing a friendly to be Panama to be called off. What are the circumstances?
Well, the circumstances are that Canada have qualified.
Canada, I think they should call it Canada.
Canada, yes, indeed. Canada dry. Yeah. Canada have qualified for the Qatar World Cup at the end of this year, which we've just been recently talking about. And the Canadian women's team is pretty successful. I think it's ranked fifth or sixth in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Canadian men's team have said, well, we want broadly the same terms that the women's team have in terms of the same percentage of the money for qualifying for the finals. And I think the players are after 40% of the fees from FIFA. And if this story is true, from what I've been picking up, that they've only been offered 10%. I think it's fair to say that the Canadian Football Association is one with a good tin ear. Because rather insensitively, they recently had a friendly match with Iran. Now, people may remember the tragedy a couple of years ago when a plane, plane was heading for Canada, there were 85 people killed in it, where it appeared to be shot down from Tehran.
Yeah.
So under those circumstances, you've got 209 other countries associated with FIFA.
Yeah.
Iran wouldn't be first on my list if I was Canadian. So, the Canadian FA haven't covered themselves with glory recently. And this, I think, Canadian men's team are feeling perhaps undervalued. And it's a very significant difference between what we have with the English FA, because English football players are all extremely well remunerated, and fair play to the England football players. They've given their match fees to charity for many, many years, and this is the type of thing which I don't think gets enough attention. And people say, well, they can afford to do it. Well, yeah, they can afford it, but not only can they afford to do it, they do it.
Yeah,
that's always my view. So I think they're looking for better terms. They went on strike for a few days. I think they have now come back off strike because they've got another match lined up. But this one is going to rumble. And the only good thing about this is it starts to make it feel like a proper World Cup, because I'm sure you and I can remember many, many World Cups where there have been threats of strikes and accusations of the suits are travelling to the World Cup in business class, and the team. And I know this is one of the things which beefed Roy Keane, didn't it, with regards to the Irish team. The team are in economy or on a boat, the officials are doing very well for themselves. So it's a good traditional World Cup year strike, and fair play to them for that. But we'll have to see how it's going to be resolved.
It makes a refreshing change, though, Kieran, doesn't it, in this day and age, that you've got the men's team asking for parity with the women's team.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And I think it is a sign of the women's team attract very decent crowds. They have certainly made progress as far as major competitions is concerned. They've been treated reasonably well as a result of that.
Until you told me that about the Canadian FA as well, I was going to say, I don't think I've ever met a Canadian I don't like. I had a very happy Edinburgh one year following Corky the Juice Pigs. Three Canadian nut. I can only describe them as Canadian nutcases, basically, who were the best company ever. I also remember meeting them for the first time, trying to be clever and show off my intellectual side, and say, "Of course, is it? You know, I understand that Canada is called that because the Spanish is Canada. The Spanish explorers, there's nothing there." And they disagreed forcefully with that, mainly by taking me to a pub in Edinburgh for 4 hours and disagreeing with me forcefully in that way. But it's a very good way to get your argument across, I find. After so many Sambucas, you tend to agree with anybody. But Barcelona really are lifting their petticoats up. There's an expression that my gran used to use when she thought that somebody was desperately trying to get them. But they're lifting their petticoats to everybody at the moment, aren't they? They've sold part of their television rights now to the Bank of America for a huge sum of money, Kieran.
Yes, they are trying to sell everything and anything. So people may recall that there was a prospective deal between La Liga, the Spanish Football League, and CVC Capital, which allowed CVC Capital, I think it's about 8-10% of all of La Liga's TV money for the next 50 years. Wow. And in return, there was some cash given up front. And Real Madrid, Barcelona, and Atleti were a little bit, we think we're giving away far too much here. So I'm not sure that they've gone along with that. But this latest story is that Barcelona are potentially going to give up to 25% of their TV rights. And there's going to be, I think they're calling some sort of members' extraordinary meeting because it will have to go to a vote. Now, this could be with the Bank of America, it could be with Goldman. Goldman have already lent them money. Barcelona have been linked to players. They've signed a few players, but they cannot register those players at present because under the way that La Liga has their equivalent of financial fair play, which is a wage control, you have to go and put in data in terms of how much debt you have. And if you're below a certain threshold and you make adjustments for your revenue and so on, you use an app to try to sign players or to try to register the players. And if you've satisfied the numbers, it turns green. And if you don't satisfy the numbers, it just bleeps red at you. Wow. So they can sign players, but they can't register them to play football, which is a crazy situation. But they're also trying to sell Barcelona licensing and merchandise. 49% of that is going to go. They're hopeful of raising a couple of hundred million euros from that. They're trying to sell Barca Studios as well for 50 or 60 million. So if it's not nailed down, the Barcelona hierarchy are trying to flog it off because otherwise they are going to be knackered in terms of being able to pay wages next season and they simply won't be able to register players.
And also... this is slightly embarrassing for them, I think.
Yes.
I was at a meeting yesterday of the Palace for Life Foundation, of which I'm a trustee, and it was slightly distracting because we had the meeting in the boardroom, very lovely. But Palace had invited several local schools and academies to take part and play games on the pitch. And, of course, none of us could resist popping out to see what was going on because you just want to see the pitch and people in Palace gets playing on it. And you kind of understand why Palace would allow people to play on the pitch. And sometimes it's for nothing if it's a charity. And sometimes Palace will. Was that a Vespa going by there, Kieran? No,
it was Killing Joke on my. It's my ringtone.
Of course,
it's actually somebody from a football club. So I'll have to phone them back.
Okay. Well, it's our last story. But embarrassingly, Barcelona are now. They've resorted to hiring the pitch out, Kira. I mean, this is not right for a club of their calibre, is it?
Yeah, it's that anything which is going to bring in a bit of money. So what Barcelona have done, they've said you can play at the Camp Nou on the pitch, which would be an amazing sensation, I'm sure. It's going to cost you 300 euros, but you've got to have a team. You've got to have a squad of 18 players. You get a free shower at the end of it, which I thought was very generous of them.
It's generous. You have to provide your own soap.
Well, I hope so, and I would hope that you're suitably groomed from using an appropriate device as well.
We should put Manscaped onto it. Imagine how grateful Manscaped would be if we got them the Barcelona contract.
Yeah, absolutely. And then this really did tickle my bones. Each player is allowed to bring 15 guests to watch them, which I thought was, well, that's pretty decent.
Yeah.
But each guest has to pay €30 for the privilege of watching you play. So they are doing everything to try to cram this in. And they say for authenticity, you'll get a 15-minute warm-up before the match, which that's very generous of you, and they'll provide a referee.
Oh, that is generous of them, yeah.
Yes.
And for real authenticity, they'll provide 100,000 people waving white hankies at you when you're not really good. I've just looked at the time, Kieran, and it's nearly 5:30, so it's bedtime for Bonzo.
It is, yes.
So we will catch up on a few more news stories on Sunday, as well as Monday, of course, as well as your questions. Thank you to everyone who's donated to the pod via our Patreon page. If you'd like to make a small monthly contribution to the pod, that's very kind of you. Please go to patreon.com/priceoffootball. And if you have a question you'd like answered on the show, email us at questions@priceoffootball.com. And in the meantime, I shall hand you over to a sleepy Kieran Maguire for his customary farewell. And I have to say, Kieran, hats off, your Wincy Willis reference at the end of the last pod went down very well. You're going to have trouble topping Wincy Willis, I have to say.
I think I will, yes. No, I won't say that.
So I see, I've caught your desire. Everything I say now sounds like a euphemism.
Yeah, well, as always, thank you to everybody for the feedback. Thanks for supporting the show. We genuinely appreciate it. If you want to support us through Patreon, as little as £1 a month gets love and hugs from us. We can certainly assure you of that. But there are other ways of supporting the show, and one of which is to go to your podcast app and to give us a review, because it helps us in the charts. And yeah, we are, for what is a very niche subject, we're doing pretty well. Yeah. in terms of the number of listeners and downloads. So if you can give us 5 stars, that'd be absolutely fantastic. We think we're worth it, of course. You know, if you don't be a hypocrite. But it doesn't matter what you say. You could say that you would rather have the show presented by Han Solo, and it wouldn't make any difference.
is that joke's working on levels that it's Han Solo, just solo on his own?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm also waiting for you to do an inevitable euphemism about somebody telling Han Solo. Just hands. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The Price of Football. Price of Football.